Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Hercules and the Space Gods. I am Hercules Invictus aboard the Pride of Olympus. Pride of Olympus is our Merkaba, our sun chariot, our celestial barge, the wheels-within-wheels shamanic vehicle that facilitates our journeys through the astral realms of Gaia's World Tree. Pride of Olympus supports all of humanity's efforts to transcend this world and venture forth into the great beyond, be they metaphysical, mechanical, or even imaginal. And like all astral conveyances, Pride of Olympus can, and often does, assume many forms, including that of this podcast. Tonight, on the sixth revelation hosted by Diane Duncan, we're going to have our first cosmic panel. And Nick Curto is another panelist. But before we do that, we will listen to one of Michael Duncan's songs called God Bless the World. Michael could not join us tonight, so we're going to bring his music into our experience.
God bless the world. 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 God bless the world.
May God bless us all.
God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world. God bless the world.
Dear Lord, shine your face upon us and bless us, every one of us.
God bless the world. God bless.
That was God Bless the World by Michael Duncan. Greetings, everybody. Hi, Diane. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, Hercules. But before I introduce my guests and before I thank you for this wonderful opportunity tonight, I promise to read a short poem from Donna Wayland, who is the most beautiful Urantia reader you would ever. And it gives us just a pause here before we begin, because this is a very important meeting tonight, and it's going to take a lot of thought and a lot of energy. And the poem is called A Divine Pause. And this is it from Donna. with sunlight shining through the trees and my skin caressed by a gentle breeze. As I lay on the grass and look up at the sky, I see white clouds go floating by. And I thank you, Father, for this day, with some time to rest and some time to play. A divine pause it is, and much needed at that. Now I look around and I see my cat, napping again as he's wont to do, so wonderfully comfortable through and through. Amen, and God bless the world. And that's from Donna Wayland.
That was very beautiful. That was a wonderful poem. Thank you to you and to Donna for sharing it here with us. And you have a guest today, Gerald T. Farley. I would love to learn about him as well.
Yes, we have Nick Curto, who is a past president of Greater New York, Iranchabuk, and a longtime friend, as you are, Hercules. And now we have a new friend. Gerald T. Farley has been a guest in my home. He is just the most learned man that I could ever find and hope to meet. And Gerald, would you just tell us just a little bit about yourself before we begin this wonderful, wonderful time together?
Well, thank you, Diane. First, I'd like to acknowledge that music that from Michael was exquisite. It was absolutely magnificent. And I love the poem. Please share that with Donna as well.
I will.
And I guess I can begin with the fact that my claim to fame is that I'm an ordinary guy.
I don't think so. No.
I've heard.
No.
Well, watch what happens with the ordinary guys and gals. At any rate, my experiential background is, has been in construction as a cement finisher and contractor for 10 years, and then in law enforcement. In a very large metropolitan area, which was, I guess the best way I can describe it is it was a great learning experience. However, I felt like a spy in an enemy camp. Simply because, I felt the same way through 6 years in the Marine Corps as well. But it was all learning, all trying to figure out who we are. And then I became, when I left law enforcement, went back to school and studied clinical psychology and Jungian modality. And love Carl Jung. And
me too.
I took it too.
Yeah, and small world. Mm-hmm. And then along the way, had the opportunity to become a Reiki master.
Oh,
which I guess the best thing I can say about that experience is it really taught me that we have to be able to stand aside and just allow the energy to flow through us. Once any of the human aspect of us gets in there, it kind of messes things up, if you know what I mean.
Of course. So many distractions today.
And,
but you're an ordinary man. Sounds like you're a Renaissance.
Yeah. I like Renaissance. Renaissance is what we're all going through right now.
Yes, of course.
And many of us can see the other side of it already.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most everyone here is definitely a starseed, as the saying goes.
How lovely.
And way shower. So it's wonderful to be in such good company.
Oh, yes. Yes?
And Nick, can you introduce yourself, a little bit about you as well?
Yes, Nick, you are our old-time friend, and we just love you so dearly. What are you doing today? And please give our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay, very briefly, thank you for that, those kind words already. Indeed, the company is magnificent. I so enjoy being with Hercules, and of course, Michael and Diane are in a category by themselves, and also our new friend
yes.
also, which I look forward very much to meeting face-to-face. I really would love that so much, and I have a lot of questions for him that maybe we could do this by maybe a Zoom meeting, just him and I at some point. I would love to invite him to be to do a Zoom meeting, just a one-on-one, as soon as we could possibly schedule that. So just putting that on the table. Briefly, I'm from Springfield, Massachusetts. I went to the Massachusetts College of Art and Design in Boston, Massachusetts. I got a BA, and I got on a bus with my portfolio in my plaid suitcase in 1966 and on the Greyhound bus, and came to a place called New York City, which I knew was the next stop for me. And I've been here now for 54 years. And it seems maybe like 10 years, truly. It's one of the most exciting places I've ever been in my life. And even with the lockdown that's going on now and the masks that unfortunately everyone is wearing, we're keeping our spirits up. And we're really, I think, I would say the majority of people are taking this so well and working together to go to the next step, which is to be back to where we were about a year, maybe 12 months, 14 months ago. I can't wait for that. Your Rancher book study group I had for a few years had to be shut down because the venue had to be locked down in the West Village, along with a lot of other places too. So we're now doing a Zoom meeting under Carol Cannon's wonderful direction. She's a longtime Your Rancher book reader, and every Tuesday night, anybody from my group and her friends get together on Zoom, and we read from the Rancher book. So that's what we're doing it right now. Last thing I'll tell you is that I'm working on a art exhibit. I'm very excited about this. It's something that I've been wanting to do, and it's coming along. It really is coming along. And I also just would like to tell you that as I was working on this art exhibit, I thought, you know, there is a product that could be easily done from the imagery of the exhibit. So I contracted a company to work on this, and I was just sent in the mail a prototype, and it was incredibly wonderful. So I'm on the right track, guys. I'm looking for now a copyright and information to the trademark, the name, and also to do the copywriting. So that's where I am at the moment. One last thing is I'm working on a song. It's a patriotic song, and I'm very excited about that. And I'm working with an incredibly gifted musician who is truly amazing. And I've already gave him the lyrics and the melody and the tempo count, and he got it. He got it right away, and he's working on it now. So that's what's going on right now.
Well, I want to hear the song when you get it finished, and I'm sure that we all would.
I want to premiere it with Hercules' program. I want to premiere it right. Absolutely. I would be honored to have it premiered, Hercules, on one of your podcasts.
And I would love that. We have to draw a lot of attention to it so that people can enjoy it and go through the portal that you're opening up with this.
It's I feel as though it's a patriotic song that we need at this, especially in America right now. And it just came to me, and the moment I started working on it, it just felt right. It just, you know how something just feels like you're really on the right track, and it almost wrote itself. It wasn't too a few weeks, and we're developing it now. So that's where we are with that.
Well, I'll bet the Celestials were giving you inspiration, Nick. I'm sure they were.
It'll be very satisfying to hear people singing it in the streets and on the. When I had my TV show years ago, we had an opening song called Odin's Eyes, and I used to hear people humming the song or singing along with the song. So that was a very satisfying feeling that the song was getting out there. So I hope the same thing happens here, that you hear people, you know, singing the song or humming the tune.
That's wonderful.
You know, I did another song many moons ago, and it was a collaboration of me and my dear friend Robert, and we did this song, and it actually premiered on Channel 13, the educational TV station here in New York City.
Oh, my goodness.
And I can't tell you what it's like to turn on television and to hear your song. I mean, it was just like something from the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, like the awe moment.
But this is the second time I'm venturing in this category, and so I'm very excited.
Oh,
I'm very excited for you, and I'm very excited for tonight. Tonight we're returning to the roots of the show in a couple of ways, and activities for the show. When we first started out, we had a bunch of forums with people who belong to different spiritualities, and we discussed basic human things. So the only part of that that's remained since then is the Living Theurgy form. Theurgy is an ancient Greek form of spirituality. It means divine works. And the purpose of theurgy is to anchor the divine into our daily life. So we've had a theurgy forum going monthly for years now. And now I want to turn back to, again, the cosmic spiritualities. And so we're starting again here. And also, Nick will remember this. When we were doing things in libraries and other venues, we used to have something called the Olympian Outreach, where we used to take people's information and provide it with a platform wherever we went so that people can find it. The radio shows kind of took the place of that for a while. And after the pandemic, we're going to have both the platforms on the podcasts and also actual leaflets and brochures and DVDs and CDs and things like that that people can take freely so that they can make their way to the wonderful things that Nick and yourself are doing. And I'm sure that Gerald is doing. I'm looking forward to learning more about him. Gerald, will you be joining us tonight for our forum?
Yes, he is.
Yes, I will.
Okay,
gladly. And, you know, I just like to say Diane and Michael and I have been collaborating on something very similar to what both Nick and Hercules, you've been talking about. And it's a series of affirmations that came through from Lord Maitreya and Saint Germain and Orion. And Michael is putting background music to it.
Awesome.
And there's
fantastic.
There's a recording where Michael and Diane and I take turns with the affirmations. There are 60 of them.
Wow.
And the music that Michael put it to is fantastic. But I'd love you to hear that one with the three of us together.
I'm sure they will. I'll probably send it to them all.
Good.
Look forward. Very much look forward to that.
I'll send it as soon as it's
impressive.
Done.
Very impressive. That's terrific.
That is incredibly awesome. And what we'll do is we'll start the forum now, and sometime between the midpoint between now and the end of the show, we'll play another one of Michael's songs.
Oh, thank you, Hercules. That's very nice of you.
You're very welcome. Let me set the foundation for this. The Melchizedek Teachings of the Occident, which is paper 98 in the Urantia book, deals with Greece, Rome, the mystery religions, and the birth of Christianity. Since my spirituality is primarily Olympian and theosophic, I've been trying to build bridges with other cosmic spiritualities and to find the language in common that we share. And I've done this most thoroughly with the Unarius group in California, and also with Theosophy. My entire life has been imbued with these. So there, a lot of the work was already done by other people who came before. So I sent everybody questions, and Gerald, I'm sorry I didn't send you any questions, but they're really...
Well, I kind of told him some of them, Hercules.
Oh, okay. Awesome. And for those who want to follow this in greater detail, in our Hercules and the Space Gods Facebook group, there are links to a YouTube video with Paper 98. There's a link to the Paper 98 being read aloud. And there is also a link to the Paper 98 being written. So whatever way feels best for you, you can follow along if you'd like. We'll just ask the questions. And how about we start with Diane, then we go to Gerald, and then we go to Nick. Does that sound good?
That sounds fine.
Terrific.
Okay. Well, in your best understanding, and according to the Urantia book, which is a commonality for all of you, what exactly is a Melchizedek, or who were the Melchizedeks? Diane?
Yes. I am a Urantia reader. I have been on the UBLA board for 3 to 4 years. My husband was president of UBLA, but I also am a theosophist, a neo-theosophist, and a Rosicrucian. So you did mention that I could insert a few of my own other theosophies. Okay, so the first question is, who were the Melchizedeks? Well, in my world, neo-theosophy, we'll start with, Elizabeth Clare Prophet always used to tell us that 90,000 years ago, Sanat Kumara, who is Gabriel in the Christian and the Urantia book, and Hephaestus in the Greek, son of Zeus and Hera, or son of local universe son and local universe mother in the Urantia book, volunteered to leave the planet Venus, headquarters of Jerusalem. And we do say Venus, the planet, is the headquarters of Jerusalem, and the Jerusalem is in the Urantia book, for the planet Earth to save humanity and keep the freedom flame alive. The Earth was destined to be a freedom star and not a dark star. So 144,000 volunteers came with Gabriel, 12 companies. But there was also, robed in white, the 13th company, and this is the one we're talking about. That 13th company was the royal priesthood of the Order of Melchizedek. They came to the earth with Lord Maitreya and Gautama, Gabriel and legions of angels, and some incarnated in flesh, as we know. The Melchizedeks are stationed on the planet Venus in our solar system. And again, as I said, the whole solar system is Jerusalem. So who are the Melchizedeks? I'm saying they came from the planet Venus, and Venus is our main planet where we're talking about.
Thank you so very much. Gerald?
Yes, and tagging on to that, thank you very much, Diane.
Most welcome.
Good information.
Thank you.
I guess where I'd like to begin is with the father, Melchizedek, who is very, very close to what is called the Trinity, the Creator Source, the Eternal Son, and the Holy Spirit. The father, Melchizedek, gets together in the Urantia epic with each creator son and creative daughter. The creator sons are are the ones who create their own universes. The one who created this universe, for example, and there are many, and they're all called creator sons. They're all called Michael sons, and they each are have as a mate the creative daughter. The creative son emanates from the eternal son, and the creative daughter emanates from the Holy Spirit. They're all daughters of the Holy Spirit. For example, just to give you some perspective, we're in the seventh super universe, and which has many, many tens of even billions of universes within each one. And so our creator son, who we call Christ Michael, and our creative daughter literally created the Melchizedek core of teachers with the father Melchizedek. And each and every creator son and creative daughter does that with the father Melchizedek. So that's where the creative, the Melchizedek core of cores of teachers come from. They're all teachers. I loved what Diane said about where they are within this universe. Machaventa Melchizedek was actually here on this planet 2,000 years before Christ. And he spent his time with Abraham. Machaventa came here as a man and left in the same body after about 94 years on the planet that was called Urantia. At the time, that was the original name for our planet. And he was the teacher of Abraham, who was the father of several religions, including Christianity and Hinduism. The interesting thing that I find about Machaventa Melchizedek is that he's known as the Prince of Salem, which I believe we're going to be talking a little bit about as well.
Yes.
Because he presided over a small colony of truth seekers residing at a place called Salem. So, go ahead.
No, thank you very much. We're going to get into Machaventa a little bit later.
Right. Well, I want to just add to both the amazing description so far that it's an order of beings created in the local universe by the Creator Son, local universe Mother Spirit, and Father Melchizedek. And as we mentioned just a moment ago, they can be administrators, they can be teachers, supervisors of a planet. And we certainly need that guidance, and that's exactly what's going on with them. And it's on so many levels, this this whole pattern of creating, of connecting the dots is, paper 98 is extraordinary. I mean, Hercules, you picked an amazing paper to spotlight and get deeply into. And it shows relationships of from one group to another, to another, to another. And there's a lot of surprises and a lot of twists, as you know, as we go forward with this story. I just want to mention that. And just one other, a personal note is that sure. I was brought up Catholic and went to a catechism class and, you know, got my first communion and then all that. They never mentioned Melchizedek. Not once. And I find that amazing. That, you know, when I first heard the word, I thought, what in the world is that? So it's just interesting that with such a pivotal role, how some educational groups can skip such an important section. Just want to mention that.
That's right.
Thank you so very much. And that's very true. I went to Greek parochial school, and I didn't learn about the Melchizedek's until much later during my own research. He is in the Bible, but it's not something that gets brought up in Sunday school or religion class.
Exactly. Not at all. Not at all. And of course, the obvious question is, why not?
That's
such a pivotal. Yeah, right. It's a different program, but I'm just saying that I just find that very interesting. That's it.
And the truth put forth in the Aracha Revelation has goes as far as to say that if Machaventa Melchizedek were not here 4,000 years ago, we'd be in even more chaos than we're in. We probably wouldn't even be in existence, because he literally arrested most of the negativity that was foisted upon us by the Lucifer Rebellion.
Mm. Thank you.
Exactly.
That's
right. Exactly.
That's
right.
Great.
Think of that. I mean, what you just said is really quite strong and striking, that without them, where would we be now? Very good point.
Right.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Gerald.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next question. What are the Melchizedek teachings? Those are mentioned in paper 98. Diane?
Yes. The teachings in Salem on the earth were patterned after the older system by the Sethite priests. And I thought this was really interesting because I love Egyptian history. And there was just an article in my new archaeological magazine about a Sethite priest, and it was about Seth himself. The Egyptians worshipped Seth. And he was a god in the panoramic of the gods of Egypt. And many temples were erected for him. The article that I have has all different kinds of temples. Of course, they're in ruins and everything. He went out of favor about 1000 BC, and they were all mostly destroyed. I guess the Arantia book is saying the Brahmins are descended from this Sethic teaching. And they believed in the tithing system, which came from the Sethites, the Egyptian, the concept of one God, a universal deity. But he allowed the people to associate this teaching with the constellation Father, the fourth father of Nur-Lashadak. Now that's El Elyon, the Most High. And this constellation Father was Machaventa's brother, the god Iapetus in the Greek, who is brother also to Cronus and Rhea, the eternal father and mother, second source and center. Iapetus is the son of the universal father, Uranus, first source and center in the Ranch book. The Melchizedek teachings, he taught the infinity, the eternity, and universality of the Paradise Trinity, of divine maintenance and direction, made marriages a religious ritual. I love that. I love that one. He taught the conduct and organization of the local universe, truths of the super universe, and Tavona. Now, in Neo-Theosophy, Aries and Saint Germain oversee the teachings of Melchizedek with the violet flame. In Neo-Theosophy, the ritual of communion, and that's like in the, let's say the Catholic Church particularly, the body and the blood of Christ is the universal light. In the masculine, that's the blood. The feminine is the body, polarity of this anogenous being, androgynous being. His blood was charged with the light of the seventh ray, that's the violet ray, which he transferred to the bread and wine at the Last Supper, a ritual of the seventh ray performed by the priesthood of Melchizedek. So this is a very important thing that we're even doing today in the Catholic Church. And this goes back to the very beginning rituals by the priesthood of Melchizedek to help to bring that seventh ray into our blood. So I think that's very important. Again, I was just saying that Seth was the Egyptian god, about 3000 BC, god of confusion and disorder. He spears Apel, the serpent of chaos, to protect the sun god Ra and preserve the established order of the universe, because without Seth, the sun would not have risen the following morning. So that's his legacy there. The lands of Seth, huh?
Very true.
Yeah. The lands of Seth were the foreign lands. In other words, he didn't really have to do with the Egyptian people himself. The foreign lands and the desert, the red lands. Around 1000 BC, his favor ceased. And in the Greek, the Egyptian god Seth becomes the Greek god Ares. So Mars in the Roman. So we are actually celebrating the rituals and the Melchizedek Society under the god Ares. And I wanted to say we've had a lot of meetings with Ares. And he always says he prefers peace, peaceful negotiation, rather than force. I mean, I know he became a real god of war with Rome, but he doesn't. He really wants to have peace. He is now working on the planet Mars to evolve it, reseed the planet, melt the permafrost and ice caps, give humanity a try to evolve on a higher level. He's the brother of Gabriel, of course, and works mainly with Athena using wisdom. So that's what I'm saying. Ares is heading the Melchizedek work today with his team member, Saint Germain. And both are working with the violet flame and with the wine and bread communion ritual, particularly with the churches today. So that's my question and answer.
Thank you so very much. That was very thorough and deep.
Thank you.
Gerald, what are the Melchizedek teachings?
Well, all, thank you, Hercules. All religion on our planet was in no small measure regenerated by the efforts of those teachers who were commissioned by Machiavento Melchizedek when he lived and taught at Salem almost 2,000 years before Christ. So these missionaries proclaimed faith as the price of favor with God. And their teachings, though unproductive of any immediately appearing religions, nevertheless formed the foundations, which were mostly what was called or seen as pagan ritual, on which later teachers of truth were to build the religions of Urantia. And Diane's explanation was so thorough. That's really all I can add to it at this point.
Okay. Thank you so very much. And Nick, what are the...
Right. Well, I think that Diane really covered so many bases here. you went through my notes pretty good, Diane. Really, you're excellent,
sorry.
Excellent notes. What to add? I just want to just maybe do a sidebar quickly before we go on and just say that, you know, all peoples, I would say, want happiness. They want peace in their life. Many of the peoples want to know if they can, after they pass on, is there something else to go for? Is there something else that they're going to be able to accomplish or to do or to go? And what is that? And a lot of religions are very similar on those ideas. What is safe? What can we worship and know that our prayers or meditations are being answered. These are very common concerns, very, very good questions that most people do have. And just another quick point is that I think that when you're doing going to various countries and parts of the world where there's different cultures and different religions, and how to respect that and not put the other people down and just simply try to let them know that there's something else they might consider. I mean, if there's anything about diplomacy, that would be it, to not step on any toes and hurt people, but say, would you consider this? And it's a very delicate tight rope walk to do something like that. And these teachers had to be experts at that. I just want to insert that.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. We're approaching the midpoint, so I'm going to play Michael's song, Lift Me.
Oh.
Great.
Thank you.
I know you are here when I hear a little whisper that awakens me from my sleep. Shining glow, spiritual illumination beckons me to follow you, to experience the pure essence of who you are. Ooh, when you lift me, enlighten me, your higher truth delivers me, and I go. I know you are.
That was Lift Me by Michael Duncan, and now we are back. We are exploring the Urantia book, the Melchizedek Teachings in the Occident, which is paper 98. Greetings, everybody.
Greetings.
Hey there.
Thank you, Michael.
And we don't have a lot of time left because I want to give everybody a chance to share their contact information, but I just want to clarify something. Are the Melchizedek teachings the same as the Salem teachings, or are they something different? I guess
they're
Diane,
the same.
They're the same? Okay.
All right,
so,
I know.
Diane,
they're really pretty
mean?
Much the same, you know, that they've been Hellenized, though.
So. Machaventa Melchizedek was referred to as the Sage of Salem.
Right.
Ah, okay. And Nick, do you have a different answer to that, or is that your understanding as well?
That's my understanding, so I'm going to go along with the group.
Okay, so we got four questions for the price of two. That's great. And one other thing for clarification, Gerald had introduced Machaventa. Diane, do you have anything to add to what Gerald shared?
Well, again, we just found out that Machaventa was Hyperion, and
okay.
We didn't know this before just you giving us these questions. This was really a shock to us. I had done a team meeting back in August 5th, 2017, and I had four Melchizedeks come to me. They introduced themselves as four Melchizedeks. And at that time, you know, I hardly knew any of the celestials' names or anything, so I just took it that way. There was Melchizedek number one, number two, number three, and number four. And my husband said, oh, you've got to do a drawing of the four Melchizedeks, you know, for everybody, and I'll put it up on YouTube. So I did the drawing. And then I went to my husband and I said, you know, the first Melchizedek who called himself Truth, Melchizedek of Truth, he really looks like the Universal Father to me. I mean, I said it's, you know, a little bit different, but he really looks like him. And Michael said, yeah, I think so too. So we found out later that that was, number one, was the Universal Father. And then we found out just this week that the second Melchizedek, and he introduced himself as a Melchizedek, and this YouTube is up on us, our YouTube channel from August 5th, 2017. He is Hyperion. And the third Melchizedek introduced himself as a Melchizedek, but we found out that he is Iapetus in the Greek, and he happens to be El Elyon. So he is the son of Uranus and Gaia. He's a Titan, of course. His wife is Clemene. In the Egyptian, they are Ptah and Sekhmet, which are powerful gods.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth Melchizedek introduced himself as Melchizedek. Again, I'm saying this because they didn't give us their names until later. This was the Pluton, the brother of Zeus, and he is also a son of Rhea and Cronus, and he gave us the message of do not fear. So those were the four Melchizedeks that we found out were a little more than we expected.
Wow. Thank you for that light shining on there. Nick, do you have anything else you want to add about Machaventa?
Oh, dear.
Not at this point. I mean, my God, what Diane was saying, I got to go after this podcast to my computer. I want to see that particular episode.
Yes, it's August 5th, 2017, the four Melchizedeks. And the picture
of
them is there.
One thing I need to add is that Machaventa Melchizedek is currently the planetary prince.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And that is Hyperion, and he is going to be taking office with his consort Thea on March the 24th, 2023. In other words, this time is coming soon, guys.
Awesome.
He will be planetary sovereign.
And on that note, we're going to start wrapping up today's show, and we're going to continue it tomorrow Gerald, if you're free and you'd like to join us, it's the same number, but it's an hour earlier. Instead of, 7 to 8, it would be from 6 to 7 Western time, Pacific time. And
well, I'd love to be there. Thank you for the invitation.
Will you be able to come?
Yes.
Yeah. Wonderful. Good.
And Nick, do you have another guest you'd like to invite to join the conversation, or will it be the four of us?
You know, there is someone I would love to come on, and I'm going to see if she's in town, and if she is, I'll extend it, and I'll let you know as soon as I know.
Oh, wonderful.
Awesome. And before we get your contact information, I'm just going to respond to something that Gerald had said. He talked about star seeds, and something I've been doing for very many years is the Olympian Star Seeds Initiative. So I'm just going to read a description of that. Olympian star seeds are embodied reflections of Olympus's light that have chosen to drink the waters of forgetfulness and enter the dream of mortality to assist in the great awakening on Gaia. The Olympian Star Seeds Initiative, which I'll call OSI for short, is tasked with locating and liberating incarnate Olympians ensnared by the dream of mortality and reminding them of their Olympian mission. The OSI, mindful that archetypal Olympian patterns have been programmed into the human psyche, believes in assisting all people on Gaia with actualizing their maximal potential. And like all our efforts, the OSI supports all of humanity's efforts to transcend this world and venture forth into the great beyond, be they metaphysical, mechanical, or even imaginal. And now we go to Diane. Can you please share your contact information?
Yes, I do hope that everyone listening will look up on our YouTube for that August the 5th, 2017, that we have a video of the four Melchizedeks. And our YouTube channel is Michael and Diane Duncan, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, and A-N-D, and Diane, D-I-A-N-N-E, two N's, and Duncan, D-U-N-K-I-N. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put a link to that show in with the other links.
Thank you so much. Uh-huh.
Thank you. Gerald, would you care to share your contact information?
Yes. I'm thinking that the best way to reach me would be to do it through Michael and Diane, because we've talked seriously about what's called Christ Michael's schools and quantum healing centers, which would be made up of the new technology of the quantum biofeedback machines and med beds, all three types. So we're looking forward to that, and there's also an Office of Peace that's kind of the administrative center and where we keep the files, and it's all surrounded by community gardens that allow everyone in the community to share free food, whole food, without being tainted, any pesticides or anything like that. So that's a dream that we all have, and we're kind of trying to bring it together, and we'll see where it goes. So my contact information would best go through Diane and Michael.
Okay, well, let me give them the email address then. It would be Michael Duncan, D-U-N-K-I-N, @hotmail.com.
Awesome. Thank you, and I'm sure Diane will have you back on again. I'm sure Nick is going to ask you, and I will invite you all back to talk about this dream. It sounds like a wonderful dream, and we have a series of shows called The Elysium Project, which is about creating a better world. So that would be an awesome place to explore this as well. And last but certainly not least, Mr. Nick Curto.
Well, thank you very much. They could reach me, and you certainly are invited. I would be honored if you want to ask me a question or give me a comment, whatever your little heart desires. It would be welcomed. And you can reach me at NICKNYNY1, and that's the number, the numeral 1, not O-N-E, at gmail.com. I'm going to repeat it, NICKNYNY1 at gmail.com.
Thank you all so very much. This was an awesome show, and we will close with another one of Michael's songs. My Love for You is Forever. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Many Olympian blessings, whether you listened live or you'll be tuning on later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Gerald. Thank you, Hercules. God bless
you.
It was a joy. Thank you.
Talk to tomorrow.
To you, Heavenly Father.
My love for you is forever. My love for you is forever. My love for you will last forever. You take it with you till the end of time as you shine it. Freedom to dream eternal dreams in your infinity. My love for you is forever. My love for you is forever. I do not fear your love's providing. Within your heart you hold me close and fast, and your great and wondrous love is true. And something precious I know will always last. My heart, my life, and my soul I give you. My spirit sings with you till the end of